Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. It's very, very fun. I'm reporting from Cantalomba, so hopefully by the time you're listening to this, those of us here in Zambia will be sound asleep. But we wanted to take advantage of being here live in the trip to talk with Teresa about what's been going on in the project. Welcome, Teresa.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you.
So we've been here for a little less than a week. It's been an amazing trip so far. And I thought, Teresa, we might just start by talking about what's been going on in the project in the last few months and what some of the highlights are and just kind of how things are going.
Okay. In the project right now, things are going on smoothly. And one of the major highlights that are going on here, we have a 100% pass rate on the children. Wow. From Living Compassion. From grade 1, we had a 100% pass rate. Grade 7, going to grade 8, we had a 100% pass rate.
Wow. May I just pause? And first of all, I wish the whole team were sitting here with us. We came to a quiet room so that you could hear us, because there's kids everywhere and all sorts of things happening all over the property. But I wish the whole team were here to just receive the congratulations of the entire Living Compassion team, because that is just extraordinary.
Yes, Jen, it's extraordinary. Coming from a background where here we don't have trained teachers. Mm-hmm. There are teachers that are disciplined. They've only gone up to grade 12. Comparing to other government schools where the teachers are trained, and here at Living Compassion getting 100%, that's perfect.
And why, how is that, Teresa? How do they do that? How does the staff here, how do all of you pull that off? How do you help the children so that they're able to pass those tests?
Jen, we dedicate our whole hearts to these children. Mm-hmm. Through extra lessons. Mm-hmm. We bring them in for extra lessons. Mm-hmm. Wherever they are behind in their schoolwork at government school, we help them to catch up. Mm-hmm. That way, we are really helping the students.
Yeah. So there are certain milestones, I guess you would say, in the education system in Zambia. So in order to go into grade 1, each student has to have an oral exam to, you know, make sure do they understand their basic numbers, their ABCs, you know, be able to say what their name is and those sorts of things in English. And apparently for our students, it's like falling off a log. It's so easy for them because they've done that for like 2 or 3 years by the time they get to grade 1. They've been doing those things here in the Living Compassion program. And then the other milestone Teresa was mentioning was there's a standardized nationwide grade 7 exam that you have to pass in order to get into grade 8. And plenty of students don't. Plenty of students have to repeat grade 7, or it's a time that a lot of students begin to drop out. But of the children who are in the Living Compassion program, all of them made it to grade 1, and all of them have gone on to grade 8. So it's really extraordinary, and I think what you're saying is right, Teresa, that it's the heart and the attention, the special attention that the children receive here at Living Compassion.
Yes, Jen, and one other thing is that when you train a child to read and write English, which is the most important language, and then all the tests are done in English, mm-hmm. then you're on the right track.
Right,
yes.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just playing a game with a group of students out in the courtyard who want their picture taken. So they all come up to me, and they either motion or they say in Bemba, "Will you please take my picture?" And I always say to them, "I'm happy to take your picture if you'll ask me in English." And they get up all their courage, and they finally learn the phrase, "Will you take my photo?" And then we had a fabulous photo session where we're learning English at the same time as they're getting their picture taken. So it's that kind of, I feel like, the spirit of fun and play and care and attention and love at Living Compassion that really helps.
Yes, Jen, it really helps. It really helps a lot. And I'm proud to say, when I walk through the community here, I hold my head high. And when parents, people out there, they just point at me and saying, "She's the one doing it for Cantalomba."
Mm. Yes. Wow, that's very moving. So we talked about the children passing their exams. Are there other highlights that you would mention of the last few months? Anything else? Well, one of the things that occurs to me, Teresa, is that I think when we were here just a year ago is when the stay in school program started. And that program is still very much happening.
Yes, the same program is still much happening. We have this group of girls, they are about 15 in number. All of them are maintained to stay in school. And right now, Jane, I think this is the crucial time in their age, mm-hmm. that we need to be very careful with them. We need to talk to them, speak to them, make sure that they understand that they still need to continue to be in school. Because mm-hmm. In their age, there is this peer pressure, the traditions that are around here. It's easy for them to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. It's easy for them to drop out of school. Mm-hmm. It's easy for them just to hang around home doing nothing.
Yeah, even it's even common for girls of that age to be getting married,
yes.
even to have their parents arrange a marriage for them at
yes.
even 13 and 14 years old.
Yes, Jen, that is happening. They do arrange marriages for them because they see that child is not going ahead in school, is not doing anything in school, especially the girl child.
Mm-hmm.
They do arrange marriages if they find that this person would give them some kwacha,
mm-hmm.
which they really need right
mm-hmm.
now,
mm-hmm.
then they'll marry off their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
On my side, as Living Compassion here in Kantolomba, I wouldn't love that.
Mm-hmm.
I would like these children to secure their future through Living Compassion. I want them to go ahead in their education, finish school,
mm-hmm.
go to college, start work,
mm-hmm.
be independent on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that these girls will be examples of Kantolomba.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing that's so exciting about it. Right now, it's this, you know, you said 15 girls, I think,
mm-hmm.
who are at that critical age. They're in grade 7. They're facing those standard exams at the end of grade 7 to get into grade 8, and that if we can help them succeed, as you say, they'll be an example to their whole community, because I've heard you say so many times that one of the big things is that the children in this community, they don't see any examples of people going to school, staying in school, getting a degree, getting a job, and so there can be a sense of what's the point. Why would I try hard to stay in school? But with these girls, who many of them have been with us from what we say is the first 100 children,
mm-hmm.
so they, you know, Mama Sherry will remember, there we were, right, when they were 3 and 4 and 5 years old, taking all of their pictures. They were teeny tiny and terrified of us. And now they're these big girls, and to have them with us still, and they're healthy, and they're happy, and they're thriving, and that these handful of girls hopefully will be the example to the rest of the young girls coming up behind them.
Yes, Jen, they need to be examples. What happens here in Kantolomba most of the time, when a child grows up, if that child benefits to grow up and go finish school, they end up going out of Kantolomba.
Mm-hmm.
I would love these girls to come back to Kantolomba,
yeah.
as I did,
yeah.
work for this community.
Yeah.
They will be the perfect models for this community.
Yeah, I often tease Teresa, we are looking for the little Teresas in the crowd, because you know they're there. You know they are there. Yeah. And then, of course, the other success we often overlook it because it becomes so day to day, but every single day the team is out there feeding 800 children. And I'll tell you, when we drive in to the property each day, and children of all sizes, from about, you know, ones that come up to your knee all the way to Natasha, one of the grade 7 girls today, was just a few minutes ago, she was standing next to me and measuring, you know, like she's almost as tall as me now.
Yeah.
So they're all ages, all sizes, and just as, you know, adorable as they could be. And how huge that is, that your team does that every single day to feed 800 children.
Yes, Jen, and we are very glad to do that, because we have at least maintained there is no malnutrition here in Kantolomba because of that. We are giving them this food, and it's balanced food.
Mm-hmm.
Once they eat here, I would like to say this, some of these children, that's their only meal they receive here.
Mm.
When they go home, they are hungry.
Mm.
You would see how they eat. I was telling Jen the other day when we were in the dining room, just observe how they eat. you would tell that this child did not eat yesterday, or this child had nothing since morning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because she was pointing out to me that there are some children who, first of all, I was saying to her, they have these heaping plates of food. And I said, my goodness, I hear so many parents in the United States complain that they can't get their kids to eat. I said, can these kids really eat this much food? And she said, you watch. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, they eat it all. And the ones that were, she was pointing out to me that they're eating so fast mm-hmm. because there's this sense of like, first of all, they're so hungry, but also someone's going to come take it from me mm-hmm. before it's gone, which of course they're not. But they're so little, they don't understand that. And she was telling me how that's how you can tell the kids who really aren't eating. This is the only food that they're getting in their day.
Yes, and it touches my heart just to see them when they are full, then they'll just jump up and down, smiling, saying, bye-bye,
yeah.
See you tomorrow when they are going home. Some of them would come with their little boxes, carry the little food that is left with them on their heads, and they'll be smiling, yeah. Bye-bye, Teresa.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Boy, it's easy to see what a gigantic difference the whole team is making. So unfortunately, Teresa, this always happens, but we're out of time. In fact, Michael, I'm sorry we've gone a minute and 25 seconds over. Sorry about that. But at any rate, it's just an absolute joy and pleasure to be here, to be participating in the project, and to witness the huge heart that all of you have for this community. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Thank you, Jen. It's my pleasure too. And thank you to everyone out there who donates a dime or dollar to this noble cause.
Mm.
Yes, thank you on behalf of all the children and all the members of staff of Living Kantolomba, Zambia.
Mm. Thank you, Teresa. We'll turn it over to you, Michael.
Okay, thank you, Jen. And good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
How fabulous is that?
Yeah, it's pretty fabulous. Yeah.
Don't you just love technology? Oh, my That's goodness, great. It's like we're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. The sound quality is really just amazing. When I first heard it, I thought, wow, it sounds like NPR. It's really, you know, crystal clear.
Right. We're coming along, aren't we?
We are coming along. Yeah.
I think
and
back to...
coming along.
Yeah. I think back to... all of us huddling around this in this little office at 2:00 in the morning, trying to talk on the telephone. Oh my gosh! And now, and not only can you know, not only can we do this, right? And not only can Jen do this, but they can do it, right? I mean, they're sending us stuff all the time and sending pictures and blogs, and it's truly extraordinary.
Yeah, truly extraordinary. Yeah, and I was reading which are wonderful.
The blogs, yes. I hope everybody's reading them.
Yes, and I saw that it was 10 years in October.
Isn't that something?
That's crazy.
Wow. No wonder these kids are growing up, right?
Yeah.
So one thing before we leave, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go. Then I'll jump in.
Well, one thing before we leave, Jen and Teresa and Kantolomba and Zambia, I had this little request of people who are listening in. I happen to know that it's Jen's birthday and that she's not feeling well.
Aww.
And, so there's the good news and the bad news. So maybe if everybody can energetically send her a birthday wish and a get well soon, that would be great. I was reflecting when I found out that she wasn't feeling well, how unusual it is for that to happen. I mean, she's not desperately ill, as far as we know. You know, she's not feeling well. She's picked up a little bug. But it's really extraordinary. The number of times Jen's been there, the number of times many of us have been there, the number of people who have been there, and it's really unusual for anybody not to feel well. I mean, even to catch cold on the plane or that kind of very, regular activity that people experience. So we'll just send her a lot of good energy and hope that she's up and at him again really soon, because I know the heartbreak it is for her to be there and not be able to be with the team every day.
Yeah. Wow. And is she coming back soon?
I think she's going to, I know when she's going to be on the property, but I don't know when she's going to be back in the States. No, she's got several more days.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah. There will be more blogs, Michael. You're not being cut off quite yet.
Good. And given that, I don't have it in the announcements here, but I do want to share the URL, the webcast, to get to those blogs. And that is livingcompassion.org/Africa/blog.
Mm-hmm. And read all about it, huh?
Read all about it. And if it's a new experience for you, that'll be a joy. And the fun thing, of course, just like with the Open Air Archives, there are blogs, archives of the blogs of the trips to Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if a person really wanted to have the full experience, it's possible to go way, way back. Jen referenced the 100 children. First video that we did of the pictures of those first 100 kids in the project and all the way through. So we can watch those little people just grow into big people. Pretty
wonderful.
Thrilling.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else about Africa you'd like to add to it before we move on?
No, I don't think so. Just that I'm so happy to get these reports and to see how rare it is that we get news from there that somebody is sick or that somebody has died, which, you know, over the years it started out to be a completely regular event. That was most of the news that we got. And then over the years, fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer until now, it's really an unusual occurrence. And so not only are the kids growing up and they're healthy and happy and getting educated, but the grown-ups are staying healthy. And it's wonderful.
Wonderful. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That is great.
Mm-hmm.
And so our announcement, deepen your practice with our brand new retreat. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself.
Mm-hmm.
Spend concentrated time training to live in this here now with Ashwini and Sherry. And this new retreat will be offered in three places. So in North Carolina, from April 21 to 25, and then at the Zen Monastery Peace Center from June 29 through July 3rd, and then in Menlo Park, California, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area, from July 6th through July 10th. And space is limited for the retreat when it's held at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, and so we encourage people who can attend the retreat in North Carolina and Menlo Park to sign up for those locations.
Michael, I'm probably speaking out of turn because there's probably a very good reason for this, but it's also going to be on the East Coast. I don't know if we're just encouraging everybody to come west.
One of the first time it's offered is in North Carolina from April 21st through
27th. Yeah, it's just that we're also going to be in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania again. So I didn't want people who had asked about, we talked with somebody last week or week before last, and I was encouraging her to come to that retreat. So I don't want people to panic and think that we've changed our minds and it's not going to be there. It could very well be that we're just encouraging people to, go on retreat during the first part of the year instead of the second, but I don't know that. So we'll find out more, huh?
Yes, I was just going to look at the schedule here, but I'll look at that and let you know.
Yeah, the powers that be will probably be texting you soon with all of the all of the dope. All right, what else are we doing?
Well, let's see. The website has a lot of information, livingcompassion.org/schedule. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press *6. and then 1. And that will be making guest show to indicate your desire to talk. And a reminder, if you can keep your conversation to about 5 minutes and a focus on one topic. So let's get started.
All right. Many thank yous.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Holly. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. How are you?
Yeah, I'm excited. How are you?
Great. Absolutely great. Wonderful to hear your voice. What's going on?
I just feel really surprised again that I've got through first. I called last year and I got through first as well, so.
You're on a roll.
Shining on me. Goodness, so much is happening, so I'll try and keep it to one topic. I will.
Okay.
But I just have to say, I just read your practice blogs. I haven't read for a while, and it was all very interesting. And I found out last year I've got arthritis, and I've got it quite badly. But sometimes I can text and type, and I wrote this big reply, you know, all very supportive and, you know, fabulous, and then I couldn't figure out how to send it, and then I lost it. But I just got it, and I just wrote, you know, that kind of like, I get it, and actually I've been to Pune, and I've done all that, and it's all good. Anyway, but that wasn't why I wanted to, that wasn't my topic, but I just wanted to say that I wrote, and it didn't work, so, and I can't write again, because it hurts my hands too much.
But you were supportive.
So I just totally get it, because when I was 20, and I'm 39 now, my sister took sannyas, and it freaked me out. I had a lot of strong feelings about it in a very negative way from what I'd heard and witnessed and, you know, a lot of blah, blah. And then I had no choice but to find out about the teacher and the teachings, because I had so much anger and judgment. And I fell in love with it, actually. I just thought it was great and very liberating for me. And I ended up going there myself just to see what it's all about. But I feel like that with a lot of traditions. I love a lot of practices and traditions, and I get a lot from a lot of things, and Zen's my core practice. But I think everything is, well, most things, not everything, but most things is something to give me, and I feel like I've got a lot of freedom. Oh, I came from privilege, you know what I mean? And I get it that it's not about, you can have everything and have nothing. If it's not from inside, and I've lived that, and I've been around it my whole life, and I just get it, and it's just got nothing to do with cars or anything, and that's the joke of it. It's a cosmic joke, and you can't take it seriously, and there'll always be people rich, and there'll always be people who are poor, and we just do what we can. So I just feel, you know, really strongly about it. Because I've experienced my own sort of judgment. Even like when I told my father's wife that I was going to a monastery in California, she said I was in a cult. And it was like ridiculous and hilarious at the same time. It's just a space of people not understanding, really.
Yeah. And you know, Holly, the part that is, and I know you'll appreciate this, okay, and a lot of people won't. But so you're in a cult. And then the next question is, and the problem with that is?
Well, it's really fun. You know what I mean?
Yes. And people just stop right there. You're in a cult. And what's not, of course, questioned is the cult that everybody is in. Right?
Right.
And that's why it's so threatening that you would go to another cult. You're supposed to be in the cult of the family, the cult of society, the cult of, you know, all of those things.
Watching the news every night, cult.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just funny when people say something like that, you're in a cult, and it's like, well, then that's the end of the conversation, rather than, that's an interesting conversation to begin.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. I just think I've been around spiritual groups and practices since I was a teenager, and you know, I've got a bit of a barometer for it now too. I live in a sort of, you know, like a mini California. My town is like a hippie spiritual town, and for me, I just find what's true for me, and it's okay. Everyone else can do whatever they want. But
yeah,
I get a lot from my own practice. Mm.
Yeah, you just wish them well. Just wish everybody well. Because the bottom line is, we don't know. We don't know where anybody is or what they're doing or what goes on with them or what they're looking at, what they're working through. We don't know.
Well, I also
think for me,
I was like a teenager, I was really into fluffy practices like crystal. Nothing wrong with crystal healing, but I was doing all my practices in a way thinking I'd be healed from doing external stuff onto me rather than internal outwards. And it didn't work for me, but in a way I had to go through those years of my fluff, personal fluff, to actually learn that it wasn't working for me and that wasn't the way for me to go. And actually now there's more inner change and shift and growth. I can sort of dabble in the fluff again and it's okay. But it's totally comes from within, and that's all there is to it for me. There's nothing else.
Yeah.
Which,
as you said, there's something in everything, and I would say if we're paying attention. If we're paying attention, everything enlightens us. If nothing else, I get to see my opinions about it.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
That is helpful. And that leads me to my topic, which I'll keep as short as possible. It is connected in the fact that I've had a very strong idea for a long time about what will make me happy, and I'm actually starting to... it just makes me laugh because I feel like I'm really just looking at it in a way now that, well, what if I never achieve? What if that never happens to me? And what does that mean? And maybe, like, I'm in a grief process around, like, I'm just turned 39, I never met anyone, I got back together with the guy I was with, and I broke up recently, and I didn't want to break up, but he didn't want to continue in a committed way, and I have never had children, and I don't know if I will, and I'm really going, this might never happen, and my whole big lifelong dream was to have my own family, and I've been grieving in a way of a process grieving, not so much sitting in a bog. But it kind of dawned on me this morning, what does my life look like without that? Like, what would it look like? And how good could it actually be? And I wrote all this stuff down about, well, what would I do and how would I live and how would I be satisfied and all this stuff. And there were so many ideas and so much goodness that in a way I just felt relieved in the fact that I don't want to keep holding on to this dream that causes me suffering because it never happens and I've tried so hard. And I've done everything I could possibly can and it still hasn't happened. And I just feel like, well, I don't want to suffer too much longer wanting something that it may not ever happen. And it's a PPP, you know, privileged person's problem. But I just feel like, I just want to ring up and reflect that because I know I would feel supported by you and the Sangha. I can feel the support, you know, because I know everyone in the Sangha and yourself know that just because you might get what you always wanted doesn't mean a life of happily ever after, or even if you don't get what you've always wanted, there can still be goodness. And I'm sort of, this is a slowly ripening awareness for me. I'm still in the process of it, but I just wanted to ring and share that. And I've been doing lots of recording and listening, and that's been quite helpful too.
Yeah, oh good. I'm glad about that. And I just underline the point that you make because this is something that I watch over and over and over, that people have a karma, which is what you're describing, right? I mean, how do you know you want your own family? Well, that's karmic because you've never had your own family, so it's really an idea, right? But it's an idea that you're really drawn to the point that if it doesn't happen, you suffer over it, right? So that's a pretty good definition of karma. And the assumption that people make that they carry and suffer over is, if I got what I wanted, I would be happy. And what I see played out time and time and time again in people's lives, so much so, in fact, that I have to zip it up and not say anything when people start talking about this, right? They get what they've always wanted, and they're miserable. Because what was actually happening is a karmic story about this is how I'm going to feel when that happens.
And I also feel like society enforces it. Like, I'm getting more and more, oh, you're 39, oh, I'm sorry, you know, like, I've failed.
Yes. And I'll just go ahead and say it, the number of people who buy into that, have those children, and find out it isn't at all what they thought it was going to be, and you can't just return them.
Yeah, right.
Right? It's a lifetime decision, right? And So that to see through that assumption. So once we get it that if I don't have children, my life is what I make my life. Right? My life is what I choose for my life to be. Meaning, I don't have children, and my choices are I can be happy or unhappy.
I know. I feel like I'm on the precipice of liberation with this. It's sort of like I've been carrying around this baggage of family for 15 years. I've wanted this, and I've been trying to make it happen. And when my last relationship ended recently, the shock was that the relationship ended. But I was like, I can't believe this has happened again. You know, like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, not that I can't do relationship, but I can't have this level of crushing disappointment.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So I'm going to finish my other part of my opposites. Okay. So in the first one, I don't have children, and my choices are be happy or be unhappy. Second scenario is I do have children, and my choice is to be happy or unhappy. But what so many people get snookered by is I want this thing, I get it, and I'm not happy. So the Buddha said, you know, what the causes of suffering. Not getting what you want was the first one. Getting what you want and not being satisfied is the second one. Right? So if we get it, that actually our choices in life are to be happy or to be unhappy, it makes life a lot easier because then we don't have to worry about the content.
Sounds so simple. And I get it in other areas, but this one's the big karmic one.
Yep.
This is fabulous. Everything you're saying, I'm going to listen to again and again and I'll record and listen to it because it feels like it's like when is this, what is it going to be, when is it 40? Is that when I'm going to decide that it's not going to happen? Like, I keep putting a limit, like, okay, I'll be suffering for another year wanting something, and then I'll give up.
I don't know.
I'm kind of sick of it, you know?
Yes, I think 39 is a perfect year to give up the suffering over this.
Yeah.
And before you go, Holly, will you write to me about the arthritis?
Yeah. I'll write to you.
And that's all you need. I know you have arthritis that hurts your hand, so just if you just write into the guest master and say, Sherry asked me to write to her about arthritis, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, it will be probably not a long message.
No, that's it. That's all it has to be. It could be on the subject line, okay? The rest of it will come from me.
Yeah, great.
Okay. Great to hear your voice, Holly. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, great to talk. Thanks, guys, and power to you all. Power to us all.
And as I always like to say under these circumstances, good day.
Good day.
Hey. Yeah. Isn't it daytime where you are?
Yeah, but g'day is when you start a conversation.
Oh, come on. What do I say now?
Goodbye? See you later, mate. See you later, mate.
See you later. All right, we'll try that one. See you later, mate.
See you later, mate. Gosho.
Gosho to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Holly, all the way from Australia.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good day, Sherry. It's Rachel from Pennsylvania.
Very good. See, we didn't find out from her. What are you in Pennsylvania? It's dark, right?
Yes.
So do we still say good day? I guess we do. Okay. All right. What's going on with you?
Well, I wanted to call in about the money blogs.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Good.
And just to say thank you because it set off a firestorm. And I don't know. I'm just kind of maybe stuck. It just threw everything into a fritz in my head. And I'm not quite sure, like, at this point, heads or tails, you know?
Uh-huh. And I love that expression. So tell me about the fritz.
Well, when I read them, I went probably right into conditioning, and I went through all of these scenarios like, oh, well, this is, you know, this is okay when the cars are okay in this scenario, but not in this scenario. And if a monastery wants to get into a business venture, it's okay in this scenario, but not this scenario. And what if they're using my donations to benefit themselves or, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I went into lots of, you know, trying to sort out all the conditions that it's spiritual under these conditions, but not under those.
Mm-hmm. And then one finds oneself in a place of saying, now, exactly how do I know that?
Yes, I caught on to all these, like, okay, I'm slapping all these conditions on, and because it did, you know, there was a few things that definitely bothered me, bothered conditioning.
Yes, oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so where did you get with that? I mean, you recognize that all this stuff really bothers conditioning. Did you get any insights into why it cares?
Well, I leapfrogged into right around that time the Super Bowl came up, and there was a commercial that got under everybody's skin, you know, and I kind of leaped into, you know, everyone was saying this commercial was not appropriate, and it's like, whoa, how do we know that? It kind of just applying the same thing. How do we know what is appropriate and what is not appropriate?
Uh-huh. Was it sexual inappropriateness or?
No, it was a nationwide commercial dealing with child accidents.
Uh-huh.
And it was the commercial was told from the perspective of a boy who was already dead.
Oh, yeah, we don't like that sort of thing. Yeah, and so, go ahead.
And I guess I'm not really coming to any big enlightenment except I've just kind of come full circle back to a question comes up a lot in practice is questioning your beliefs and assumptions with everything.
Yes, because Wei Ning, I just quoted him, the sixth patriarch of Zen, and his way of talking about it was, from the beginning, no thing is. And now, at the risk of interpreting Wei Ning, the world that conditioning has presented to us is dualistic. Everything is comparison. Okay, it's right. That's wrong. they're good, so they're bad, right? And that's how conditioned mind relates to everything. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no, I mean, we don't actually get this. We when we talk about it, we know it intellectually, but we don't actually get it. You know, there isn't any good without bad. They're not two separate things. We have just labeled two ends of a continuum, mm-hmm. right? And and we know that when we stop and consider it. Just on a day-to-day basis, we don't stop and realize it when conditioned mind is busy separating things out into, I like that, I don't like that, I want that, I don't want that, that's okay, that's not okay. So what it's really doing is keeping us in a belief that we are separate from life, and that life, as we perceive it, is somehow not the way it should be compared to, and here's the big duality, this life is not as it should be because the way it should be is, and then it's got the description of how mm-hmm. it should be. Yeah? And so that's, of course, how suffering happens. And it's a little bit tricky to get to, but when we do, what we realize is every bit of that is made up. There's no truth to any of it. It's absolutely a product. All those beliefs and assumptions are a product of time and place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? So, Holly mentioned just a minute ago the privileged person's problems, right? So uh-huh. if you're a privileged person in wherever, if you're a privileged person, if you're the right race for where you are, the right gender for where you are, the right age for where you are, the right education for where you are, the right whatever, then it's one thing. The world looks one way. Okay. Excuse me. When any of those change, the world looks completely different. And yet almost anybody looks out through their conditioned mind and believes that what they're looking at is reality.
Uh-huh.
It's not reality. It's all made up. The whole thing is made up.
It's challenging to function in society when there's so much feed, you know, from hearing people complaining about, you know, a commercial to, you know, what's wrong with the education system to what's wrong with this and, you know, what needs to happen here. And I'm currently pursuing a graduate degree, and that's, I feel pretty embedded in, you know, we did a class on social justice. And it's pretty clear, you know, what we're being taught is this is what's right and good in terms of justice, and this is what we don't want.
And, yes, and did they have a third category of this is what we actually do?
Well, we're learning what we're doing. And
that is the same label. This is what we're doing, and this is what we don't want to be doing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, from my perspective, the whole thing absolutely misses the point. Because as far back in every time and place that we know about, pretty much the same thing has happened. Pretty much the same thing has gone on. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. People get divided up into categories. This is okay. This is not okay. These are the important people. These are not important people. As the Buddha pointed out, greed, hate, and delusion is spinning the world around. And that just seems to be the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, what we're taught is, whether we're taught consciously or not, that disliking it and complaining about it is somehow making a difference. So, of course, it doesn't make a difference because people have complained about it and disliked it since for as far back as there have been people, and everything is pretty much the same. So what can we do? What can we do under those circumstances? So when you say, you know, people are complaining about an inappropriate commercial, one of the things that can be interesting to say is, oh, What did you find inappropriate about that? And just listen to what they have to say. You say, yeah, oh, wow, that's really interesting. Oh, yeah, thank you. Because what you really want is kindness and compassion as you relate to another human being.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you convince that person to your perspective or they convince you to theirs, what would we actually have?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's what a good thought, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's a lot of other things going on with money, but I think I'll hold off and let somebody else talk.
All right. Well, it's good to see, isn't it? As soon as this email class is over, I'm going to get back to those blogs and we can continue the conversation.
Oh, excellent. Excellent, excellent. And I want to just keep looking at it and because I have like everybody have way too much karma surrounding money.
Yeah. Well, and I will reassure you that there is no money of the Zen Center being involved in this thing that I'm doing. It's my own little experiment in taking awareness practice into parts of people's lives where it is usually excluded, or the other way we could say it is bringing in such a big part of people's lives, money, livelihood, work,
mm-hmm.
all of those aspects of people's lives, bringing that into awareness practice. So if you want to talk more to me about it, you just write in and let me know, and you and I can continue the conversation.
Okay. And just an aside, you've mentioned this business venture several times in the last, 6, 8 months or a year, and it is driving ego crazy that the ego doesn't know what it's
yes.
all about.
That's right, because ego can't have an opinion about it, right?
Yes, okay.
Yeah. And in fact, I will tell you that that's one of the things about it, the people who are involved in this pretty much commit to it before they know what it is. Because as soon as there is information, then egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate has something to leap on and start through a process of blah, 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 blah. And so it's like this. If you decide you're going to come on retreat with us, now, of course, you could make a different choice, but I'm going to bet you don't. So the new retreat for the year is, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Well, you probably know that comes from the daily recollection, and so it's mm-hmm. going to be something about that. Okay, but you have no idea what it is. I mean, we might do anything once you get there, but what you've agreed to do is come on retreat.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're there, and you're going to get to see everything that arises as the retreat unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to have happen with this. Because if people give egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate an opening, they'll never be allowed to do it.
That's such an interesting insight, because I've always struggled with not knowing. I just, whenever there's something, coming up in my life, I just want to know. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and now you can see why, right?
Yeah.
It's not that you want to know, because you're smart enough to know you're not going to know anything anyway.
Yeah.
Right? I want to know. So, so what are we going to do next weekend? Well, I just want to know, okay? Well, do you think because I tell you that means that's what we're going to do? Right? We know, when we stop and consider it, we know that that's not true. That's just. But if I say we're going to do pop, then conditioned mind goes crazy. Well, I don't want to do that. That doesn't sound like fun. I don't want to waste a weekend on that, or that costs too much money. Or no, I've been there. No, I don't want to go there again. All of that conversation, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it wants to do, and that's what I want people to see, not believe. That's the difference. That's what takes a person from suffering to freedom. If people live in that conditioned conversation and believe it, think it's reality, think it's true, there is no choice but to suffer. When people can watch it and know that it is the equivalent of reruns of an old television show,
mm-hmm.
now there's a chance at freedom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Fun.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Food for thought.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rachel. Very fascinating conversation, sharing. That was fun.
Well, that it was really helpful for me, I got to tell you, because I've never heard. I mean, you guys, you know, you tell me. I think I say things for the first time, and you know, people just roll their eyes. Now, it's 10,001 times you've said it, but that just that view that where I was looking at it with the, you know, if you're inside it and you're believing it, then you really don't have a hope, right? Because it's creating the world that you're living in. If you can get enough distance that you're watching it, realizing that it's a conditioned reaction, that it's not real life, it's not true, it's not anything. It's just a bunch of opinions and beliefs and assumptions that have been programmed in there by karma and conditioning. That's a whole, now the world can begin.
Yes, it feels like practice gives us that distance that even if I am believing something, I'm aware that I'm in that story.
Yes, which is the first step, right? The first
yep.
step out of it. When we can
yep.
step back just in the same way, this is such a common image, but, you know, I'm in the movie theater, I'm watching the movie, I'm so caught up in it that it's just my whole deal. You know, and then
yeah.
I move to the back and I stand against the, you know, the exit door and I'm watching it. Now I know I'm in a movie theater watching a movie. That's, but I'm still caught in it. I'm not, and then
yeah.
there's walking outside. And I realize
yeah.
that was happening in there, that was an illusion. That wasn't really so. This is what's so. My feet are on the ground and I'm looking around and there's the blue sky and the, and then the next stage is realizing, whoa, wait a minute. That whole thing is being projected in much the same way that film was. So if I didn't have all these preconceived notions about me and this and that and everything else, what would the experience be?
Yes. Fascinating.
It is. My teacher would say, no reason to be bored.
And we're going to hear from our coaches program now, Sherry, and then we'll be back.
Good. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
This year's theme is training to live in this year now. In any training, having a personal trainer helps tremendously. We can think of Zen Awareness coaches as personal trainers. The coaches have been trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching with any number of life issues or awareness practice in general, with special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to Living Compassion, having a coach also supports practice. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit sanghamarket.com. Go to Services, under All Categories. Click on the little monk at the bottom, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, I did get some additional information about the retreats this year.
Uh-huh.
So that retreat... The registration for the Pennsylvania retreat will open later in the year.
Got it. Okay. It's going to happen, but we have to wait a little bit for it.
Yes. So the
okay.
registration for these first three is open now because they tend to cluster around the same time.
Got it. Okay. Good. Thank you, Michael.
Yes, sure. And we have some more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is George.
Well,
hi
George. How are you?
Hi, Sherry. Well, I'm pretty good.
Good. Great to hear from you. What's going on?
Well, I'm living here with 2 feet of snow on the ground, and the what's known as the dead of winter, which is always a challenging time for me. I think as long as I can remember, I've gone through these cycles of general elation in the summertime, in the spring, summer, early fall, and then depression during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just realized today, and actually woke up this morning feeling really depressed, and just all through my body, you know, anxiety slash depression, whatever you call it, but just feeling, oh. And, you know, and then, of course, self-hate is there. See, I mean, nothing's working for you. And there's something wrong with you, something wrong and not enough, and you haven't done enough, whatever, blah, 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 and so on. So it really had me in its grips for a while, and I decided, you know, I really have to get up and go out. The sun is shining. I'm going out for a walk, and I'm just going to walk. And I walk down to the river and watch the birds, and, of course, all this time I have my recordings with my earphones on, and I'm listening to that, and I'm looking at the shimmering water and feeling the warmth of the sun on my face, and it was quite a change. I mean, what happened was I relaxed enough that I was able to allow life to take over. And I began to listen to life. And I think what really helped me do that was all of the life around me, the trees and the birds and the water and the glistening sun glistening off the water and the warmth of the sun and so on. And so I just naturally started listening to life. And when I got back in the house, I continued listening, and life just really showed me what to do next. And of course, in the morning, conditioned mind had all kinds of urgencies that I should be doing that day, and I should be accomplishing this, that, and the other thing. But I actually experienced just listening to life, and what a difference.
Yes. yes.
And so,
go ahead.
Well, the other thing I realized is that I've been carrying this belief for a long time that somehow if I did the right things and if I did the right practices and if I, you know, worked hard enough, that I would reach some kind of a place called enlightenment, where I would no longer have to be concerned about
paying attention.
Practice paying attention. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, you know, it was just a deep realization of what practice is. Practice is something that you just do all the time, and mm-hmm. in the face of whatever. You know,
mm-hmm.
and there's no, and that you know, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate is never going to give up.
Not as far as we can tell.
That's been my experience. You know, it's mm-hmm. just not going to give up. It's not going to be. I'm not going to be fixed. I'm not going to be.
Well,
you know, it's not going to be eradicated. I'm not going to be cleansed
of it. You can't be fixed. Because there's nothing wrong with you.
Right, right.
Right? And so what you yeah. did today was basic practice. So
yeah.
I just wrote to somebody in the email class about a decision that I made whatever time ago. that I would never allow any information about what I'm feeling, what's going on with me, until after I've had my tea in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because as a depressed person, you know, we wake up into that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what you did today was that you redirected your attention. That's what you did. Now, you got up, and because it occurred to you that you were going to go for a walk, that you were going to go outside and go for a walk. Okay, that was the result of redirecting attention. So while you were caught in the story of how you feel and how miserable this is and how miserable it's always been and why it's this way and why it always will be, that's where attention was, and you were feeling the results of that. And then I would say, because you have a practice, there was a little tiny gap, and the intelligence that animates life was able to drop in this point of wisdom that said, get up and get out of here. Okay, so you look outside and you realize the sun's shining, it's a beautiful day, I'm going for a walk. Like, that's a memo from God, right? And you do it, okay?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Many, many people would say, listen to the next voice that came, oh, now it's cold out there, I don't feel like it, it's too hard, I'm too, right? But you didn't. You put on your boots and your hat and your jacket and you went out and you kept your attention on life instead of that conditioned conversation of misery. And that is the practice that transforms a life.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So in a way, you know, that you know, if you just did the right practice, that's true. There is a right practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is a right practice to do. And we have to do it moment by moment by moment. Now,
yeah.
The happy part of that is it's joyful to do that to be with life moment by moment by moment,
yeah,
instead of a suffering conversation in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, thank you.
Oh, well, that's great. That's a great story. I love it. I love it. Now, I will offer, too, that one of the things that you could do with when there's 2 feet of snow in the dead of winter is come to us. We never have winter. So,
yeah.
Right now, when somebody says 2 feet of snow, we have to fight not to go to such a place of envy that we're miserable. We would give anything for some dead of winter with a lot of water in any form it wants to be. So,
yeah,
that's
it
just
really
a little perspective.
I love it. I love a heavy snow. Yeah.
Mm.
Really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have lots of blue skies and white clouds and green everywhere. It's that we're having the most beautiful spring, but we need to be having winter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good, you know, it's good just to keep those things in mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when everything clouds over and stuff starts coming out of the sky, you say, this is great. You know, we could be having a drought.
Yeah, really? Really?
Mm-hmm. All right. Great talking with you, George.
Yeah, you too, Sherry.
Continue to take such good care of yourself, okay?
I will do that.
All right. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us, George. And, Sherry, we have time for another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Beth.
Well, hello, Beth. How are you?
I'm doing the best I can.
Good.
Yeah.
That's all any of us can do, huh?
I like efficiency, and I'd like to also acknowledge that I heard the instructions to try to keep it to 5 minutes, and I'm going to do that by cutting to the chase.
All right, good, because I can never keep it to 5 minutes, so I count on you.
Yeah, I know, but I also know that you're fine without small talk, and I take that as a blessing. So the last time we talked, I told you about my recording and listening practice?
Uh-huh.
and how I had this 18-minute segment that I found to be a tremendously useful tool. But as you know, my favorite mug is already broken.
Yes, yes, yes.
I lost it.
Oh, my God.
So watching what happens after that.
Wonderfully comforting and intriguing idea of my favorite mug is already broken becomes the reality of I lost my favorite recording. They're different, aren't they?
I had 5 hours of yes, thank you, I love you recorded, and it's all gone. And I did find out that it is possible to back up the recording, the recordings, so I learned from it.
Which you will do in the future. Right, but it doesn't help you now.
I've seen a couple of things about it. One is, I've got like 15 minutes recorded so far.
Good.
And it's just my voice. And I'm, my voice is, it's like the backgrounds where I record sometimes. I'm picking up those kind of things. It's like there's a whole newness to the kind of how the recordings are happening.
Mm-hmm.
But in starting over, there's a lot more silence.
Huh.
My hoarding in the recordings.
Uh-huh. Tell me about that.
Well, it's like there's certain recordings that are more important in the recording of it than in the listening to it. I don't need to keep listening to it.
Got it.
Once I've seen through it, I don't really need it anymore.
Yep, I know what you mean. Uh-huh. It's good to have it, right? Because as we know, karma tends to cycle around. So So I've seen it, and then 6 months it's brand new again because I'm in it again.
Which is kind of interesting with the what you're talking about with reality. It's hard to not live a real life when you're living a real life. I live a life where I have to pay bills. I have to, keep the car on the road. I have to get up in the morning and go to work. And all of that, I think that's where faith comes in because it feels real.
Yes. And yes, it does feel real. And it's back to what we were originally talking or earlier on talking about with Holly. It is real in a certain sense, yes. And you still have the choice of whether to be happy or unhappy. Right? When we're happy, then our life circumstances are one thing. When we're unhappy, our life circumstances are something very different. Even though the life circumstances are exactly the same.
I heard it and then I lost it, but I get it. It's kind of like, if I'm in that unhappy state, I know that I'm in the cloudy part and that, the wind hasn't come to blow the clouds away. The sun is still shining. The happiness is still exists.
The happiness is still there. Yes, so I get up, I get up and I go to work. And if I'm happy, then that is an interesting thing to be doing. I'm grateful. I'm living in kindness and compassion. I'm interested to see what happens. Who will I meet? What will it be like? How will the day unfold? What gifts are there? What miracles am I going to see? So that's the attitude of mind. It's kind of like back to being, for a lot of people, back to being about three, right? Or even five, where, you know, it's summer and it's just fun and it's all interesting.
72 and degrees all the time.
Pardon me?
72 degrees.
Yeah. It is for you, right? Whatever is going on. Or if I'm in an unhappy place, then all I have is the unhappiness in conditioned mind. And that then
that's
is projected. That's all there is. It's the whole world. And gifts, magic, kindness, compassion, joy, fun. No, not for me. I didn't have any of that.
No. Yeah. I'll just take the sugar, please. A sense of faith. I mean, it's like when I'm in that state, I don't believe it, but I got to believe that the sun is still there.
Yes. Well, and now we're talking with George, right? What we do then is turn our attention to the sun, right? And that's obviously, code for what's beautiful, for what's good, for what takes care of us, for what we can give, all of those things. That's what we're looking for. So now, I'm having a crummy time of it, right? I'm tired, I don't feel well, things aren't going my way, and on top of it, Mercury is retrograde. And so I'm going out into the world, right, and probably I'm going to get rear-ended, or worse, I'm going to rear-end somebody, right, and it'll be my fault. And so now I need to change the focus. I need to change the channel here because this is not working. I know what this is, and I know where it's going. And so I'm going to redirect my attention, and I'm going to put it on something that is true and real. Okay, where's the nearest tree?
Yeah, and that brings us full circle back to the recording and listening.
Yes.
Because when I lost that 18 minutes, I just felt this wail. Like I really lost something.
Yes.
It just wasn't, just a little piece of something. And, and it's like in trying to recreate that, I'm never going to get it back.
Nope.
But it's like boiling down to an essence. I'm getting the essence back. I never lost that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I just went to the same place when you said that. And what I sensed, you talking, you recording that essence. What happened for you in that 18-minute recording? What did it mean to you? Where did you go? What did you see? What did you have? What did you feel in that? Because that
was my own friend.
Because that's what you want to be with again, right?
Yeah.
And so in a way, it's
now
kind
that
of,
I've got to do the initiation.
Yeah. Well, and now you're going to do a memorial service, right? This is this beautiful thing that was in your life for so long that you loved so much.
It was so
beautiful.
And you get to
talk about everything it meant to you. And as you do that, you will go to those same places, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do. And it's like, and I am finding it.
Mm-hmm.
I am finding it. I've got, 15 minutes recorded.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So...
And I don't know, however we want to say it, but good for you for not taking that as some sort of, sign that you should just give up and quit, but just, I had that, I loved that, I lost that, I'm going to celebrate it, and I'm going to go on because it was a gift, and I received the gift.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and it's by the time I finish, listening to the recordings, and kind of, there's more room for gratitude.
Yes, exactly.
It doesn't matter what kind of space it is, I come to it,
And it
seems to take about 15 minutes.
Yeah. To get your attention completely off of, and the residue of all that stuff goes away, it all fades away. You're really here and present. All right.
Yeah, and then I can practice my art.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to make a living.
Exactly. Exactly. Now you've received, now you're giving back.
Again and yet again, may it please be so.
Say it again.
Again and yet again, may it please be so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly so. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this is heartening. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Good night.
Take care of yourself. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And Sherry, we are past the top of the hour here.
Not very much, though.
Not very much.
Because Beth was true to her word. So there we are. All
there
right.
We are.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Okay. Great.
Good night.
Good night.